Therefore, my leaf shall not fade or wither.
My leaf shall not fade or wither.
I am powerful.
Everything I do shall prosper.
I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me.
Now look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at a bad dude or dudette. You're looking at one bad dudette, baby. I'm telling you right now. So I guess this isn't working, right? So you can have that, I guess. Praise the Lord. Get over to Obadiah with me. And you all going to work this for me back there? Okay. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Obadiah chapter 1. It's right after Amos. It's actually on page 1181 in my Bible. I don't know if that helps you or not. But I want to read out of the Amplified Bible. Obadiah 17 and 18. But on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance for those who escape. And it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess its own former possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble, and they shall kindle and burn them and consume them. And there shall be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. He said, there is coming a time when there will be a Jacob house, but there will also be an Esau house. And the Jacob house will be a house of fire. And the Esau house will be a house of fire as well, but it will be burned up. It'll be likened unto stubble. And the Esau house represents to us the flesh. And there is a moment in this history of time when God is building his church on Mount Zion. And the little prophet Obadiah, little in book but big in stature, declared that God will establish his house upon the Zion's hill. And in that place, these that call upon the name of the Lord will become like flames of fire. And a couple of things will begin to happen. It tells us that they will be purified and the other will be consumed. But three characteristics of the last day. Church, those that will be built upon Mount Zion's hill. Number one, deliverance will be in their midst. You can interpret that as salvation, soteria. He said salvation or soteria will be in their midst. In other words, wholeness will be in their midst. Healing, or not healing, but health. How many know there's a big difference between the two? God's given you the power for health, not just healing, for prosperity. For wholeness, for nothing missing, nothing broken. Number two, he says this, for holiness. In other words, God is going to impart to us a holy generation, a people that is set apart, people that don't look like the world, talk like the world, or act like the world. There is a division in the kingdom of God. There is a house of Esau and a house of Jacob rising up together, the wheat and the tares. But there are people that are being raised up in this hour that are tired of the carnal life, that are tired of the church games like we play Monopoly on a Sunday afternoon. We play Churchopoly on Sunday morning, and they're tired of moving little things around and acting like we're accomplishing something when we're really not doing anything. But there are people that are hungry for the fire of God. There are people that are saying, I want to be set apart in my life. Not what just I can see on Sunday, not what you can see during the week at work, but behind a closed door when nobody else can see. I want to be set apart for the things of God. I want God's heart to burn in my heart. I want to be like Jesus. My one quest in life is to become like him. The third characteristic is this. They will begin to possess their former possessions again. I don't know about you, but I don't only want what I have currently that I might have lost, but I'm going back into my generation. I'm going into my father's generation. And I'm going to say everything that my father had coming to him, I'm going to possess that which he never possessed. Then I'm going to my grandpappy. I'm going to his generation. And I know this, that I'm the first one that was born again in my family line. We go back as far as we could. We couldn't find one person that was born again. So I'm going back to my dad's generation. I'm going to say, devil, everything you stole from my dad that you said he could have that he didn't take, I'm here to claim. I'm here to receive. I'm going back to my grandfather and my grandfather's father and my grandfather's grandfather.
grandfather, and I want everything the devil has stolen for my generation. He said, this is the characteristic of this generation. They shall have salvation in their midst. They shall be a people that'll be holy and set apart for my kingdom, and they shall possess the former possessions. Everybody lift your hand up and say, that's me. Glory to God. That's me. Amen. Psalm 66 and verse 3 says this, through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Through the greatness of your power. Everybody say greatness. You see, when God sent Moses to Egypt, there was power in Egypt. The magicians and the sorcerers had power, but God had greatness of power. And he said, through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves unto you. This is a generation when God is calling people not just to attend church, but to operate in the greatness of his power. Why? So that we can cause the enemies of God to submit to his lordship and his rulership on this earth. Church, I want you to know that God has given you a jurisdiction. Now, if you've been running down the highway and you crossed state lines and you outran the Ohio State Patrolman and he couldn't pull you over if you crossed over into Indiana. And you know why? Because his jurisdiction ends at the state line. God has given you a jurisdiction. God has given us a sphere of where we have been assigned to in this world. And he has also given to us authority. He's given to us power to operate within that jurisdiction. Not that you would go outside of your jurisdiction. That's why we have to know our assignment in this hour. We need to know what God has called us to and where has God is calling us toward, and that what he's calling us from, because we have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Amen. See, there is power from God, the greatness of his power. We've talked about power. We've sung about power. We talk about there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. And we all go, amen. But we don't know what that power is. Some people will say this. They'll lay hands on somebody and they'll fall out in the spirit. And they'll go, whoa, the power of God. Well, that's not necessarily the power of God. That was a manifestation of the power of God. It's like seeing the trees sway back and forth in a storm, and you say, wow, look at the wind blowing. No, that's not the wind blowing. That's the manifestation of the wind that's blowing. So we've got to identify, what is this power? And where is this power? And what is this power for? You see, we as a church have to be empowered by the greatness of his power, because his power is for one thing. It's called release. Power is for release. Come on, say that with me. Power is for release. Why? Because it said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, after the Holy Spirit will come upon you, ye shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. There's no witness until there's power. There's no release of who you can be in me until you receive the power. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, all authority I have given unto you, that you might tread upon serpents, and that you may lay hands upon the sick, and that you might cast out devils. There is no devil cast out until the power is received. There is no treading on evil serpents until the power is received. The release comes after the power is received. So we have to understand then, what is this power? What is it for? Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the good news. There's no preaching until the power came on Jesus. There's no loosing the captive until the power came on Jesus. There's no setting the captives free until the power came on Jesus. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If that's true in the Word of God, don't you know that it's true today? That we need the power of God operating in our lives. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you'd like to turn back there, it's a story of David. And David was out with a band of his men, and they were conquering, and they had a conquest. And while they were gone in 1 Samuel 30, something happened. What happened in 1 Samuel 30 is while David was out conquering, his camp became conquered. It was at Ziklag. You remember the story. Some of you read that in the Bible. How many have never heard the story of Ziklag? Let me see your hand. It's all right. Some of you don't know. But Ziklag, it's in 1 Samuel 30. And when they came back to Ziklag, David and his men found that their wives had been captured, their homes had been burned, and all their possessions had been stolen. And the men became so distressed, the men became so distraught that they told David, "We're about to stone you because you got us in this mess." And David became very distraught himself. Now, we're going to talk about it in verse 8 because it says, oh, here it is. All right. Well, I don't want verse 1. I want verse 8. So oh, you got it that quick. Okay, somebody have to fix this thing. Let's see. Did we knock that when we were blessing the Lord and worshiping and all that? There we go. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" The Lord answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all." In other words, David said, "You know what? I've got two choices to make. I could either learn to adjust to live with what I've lost, or I can learn to adjust to go pursue what was taken from me." And the Amalekites here, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means flesh. The flesh will always steal your possessions. And I want to just give notice to the church. Listen, this is a time we can't be playing patty cake in church. It's not a time when you can say, "Well, I'm going to serve God on Sunday and then not on Monday. I'm going to serve God on Tuesday and then not forget my brother on Wednesday. I'm going to live like the devil on Thursday and then get right on Friday again." Let me tell you something. This is an hour when we're going to have to walk into the power of God on a continual basis. Why? Because the flesh, the Amalekites, are going to come and steal away our children, steal away our marriages, steal away our finances, steal away our dreams, steal away our covenant rights in God. This isn't a time when you can be playing with God's kingdom. This is a time when I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to have to make a choice. I'm either going to serve God or I'm not going to serve God. This is a time when I'm going to have to recognize I either need the power of God or I can do this on my own. And I think many of us have come to a place where we've tried to do it on our own. Amen. And we have recognized that we cannot do it by ourselves, that we need God. Even people that don't even know Jesus will get into programs called AA and say, "I need a higher power than the power that I've got within me." Come on, church. You've got Jesus Christ in you. You know the power of the Holy Ghost. If they can talk about a higher power, where is the church crying out for the power of God? Modern day pressing is what we need. Luke 16 and 16 talks about from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it, forcing ourselves into it. We have to force ourselves into it. It's a pressing into the kingdom of God. Why? Because God has given you a jurisdiction on the earth. It includes your marriage. It includes your children. It includes your vocation. It includes your material possessions. See, I want you to know that He is the King of all kings. And He's the Lord of all lords. And I just want to introduce you today. I'm a king. And I walk as a Lord. Oh, yes, I do. If He's King of kings and Lord of lords, He's got to be a king of somebody. And I'm His king. He has given me a jurisdiction, an authority. And some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. But you hold on, because I want you to hear something. You are not a pauper. You are not a slave. You're not insignificant. You're not inferior. You are great in the sight of God. You are a prince. You are a princess. You are part of the royal family of God. You are a child of the Most High God. have to understand something about yourself. Quit listening to what your family has said or what they didn't say. Well, they didn't affirm me. They didn't make me feel right. They didn't accept me. They didn't receive me. They didn't make me feel as though I was part. Listen to me. When you came to the cross, when you came to the blood, Jesus Christ washed you of all your sin. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. He put a purpose and a destiny in your life. And God said, you are my children. You are the very children of God, that the earth is crying out and moaning and groaning for the manifestation of. And today we're pulling back the curtain on the children of God. We're pulling back the curtain on the princess and the princesses on the face of the earth. That's why we've got to teach our children from the time they come into the cradle that they are more than just ordinary. They have a superiority mentality. They need to begin to get an attitude that says, I am superior. I am above only and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and blessed coming out. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't teach our children this just so that they can get religious. We teach them so they can rule and reign in their sphere of influence. Now go over to the Bible with me in 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is an exciting day to live. This is an exciting moment to be a part of the kingdom of God. Man, to wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, what do you have for me today? What is it that you're going to reveal in me and through me today, God? Look at verse 13. It reads this way. We, on the other hand, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, will not boast beyond our legitimate province and proper limit, but will keep within the limits of our commission, which God has allotted us as our measuring line and which reaches and includes even you. Paul said, God's put something under my jurisdiction. Long as you're in the state of Ohio, and as long as I'm a state highway patrolman, I have legal right and jurisdiction over how you drive your car. In other words, because now you're born into my family, because I'm your father, and you're my son, and you're my daughter, I want you to know something. God has given me jurisdiction. God has given me authority to be able to rule and have dominion over your life. Not to control you, but to train you and reach you and to teach you how to operate as royalty in the house of God. And don't even think about it, devil, coming in here and messing with one of my babies. Because you have to understand, I've got full jurisdiction within this sphere. Don't even think about coming to try to steal my money. Don't even think about trying to come and take my possessions, because God has given me full jurisdiction, dominion, and rule over the area of my life, which is my sphere. So I don't get up in the morning hoping something will happen. I'll make it happen. I'll make a declaration. I decree, I declare a thing, and it shall be established. Look at verse 15. We do not boast, therefore, beyond our proper limit. I'm not going to get outside of my assignment. I'm going to stay within my assignment. Over other men's labors, no. But we have this hope and confident expectation that as your faith continues to grow, our field among you may be greatly enlarged, still within the limits of our commission. When I read that, I said, oh, God, you got more for me. There's some enlargement that has to happen in my sphere. It's like the nation of Israel when they conquered the first king in the land of promise. That was only one. 32 nations later, they were still conquering. And they gave up and they did not conquer the entirety of their jurisdiction. Some of us have come to a place in our Christian life where we don't drink anymore, we don't smoke, we don't kick the dog, we don't spit, we don't watch bad movies, and we don't swear, we don't do those things. But you've not taken full dominion over your sphere of influence. God has more for you. God has more in your sphere or your jurisdiction that you have not yet investigated. And we've got to go before the Lord and say, God, I want all that you have for me. Look over at somebody and say, there's more for you. Come on, look over at somebody and say, there's more for you. Come on, you got to shake them sometime and just really mean it. Don't be so polite. There's more for you. There's more for you. A sphere is this. Here's the definition. It's a rule. It's an area of control. It's influence. It's domain. It's a portion. It's a jurisdiction. God alone gave me, along with other preachers, a jurisdiction in this region. Nobody else could be doing what I'm doing because it's my sphere. So therefore, I've got to accept responsibility for it. I've got to walk in it with confidence and knowing that if God gave it to me, He's empowered me to rule it. And if I'm being dominated by my sphere, then it's inverted. God's promise is being inverted. So I've got to somehow get back into the place of rulership and the place of lordship. How do I do that? I can't do it myself because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I've got to tap into the power of God. So what is the power of God? We as church folk aren't really sure. We think it's those chills and bumps and goosebumps you get when you're in a great service and you start getting your dance on and you twirl around and you worship and tears are coming down your face and all those times are good, but that's just a manifestation of the power of God. Some of us think it's the power of God when we get the report from the doctor and they say, guess what? There's no growth. There's no cancer. There's no problems. You're the healed of the Lord. You say, oh, that's the power of God. No, that's the manifestation of the power of God. So we've been searching for the manifestation and defining the manifestation as the power. See, taking dominion is the right to govern or control. I'll never forget the time that my girls, they're not here this morning, so I can talk about them. They were in their teens, and they're like 17 months apart. So, 16, 15, and 13. And then 17, 16, and 14. And man, there was a lot of emotion in my house. Lots. And they started drifting, getting mixed up with the wrong crowd in the school that they were in and being influenced. And I remember my wife and I, we had to draw the line. We had to say, all right, that's it. And mama got hot, man. Mama got hot one day, and we pulled them down in the living room. We got out the oil. We started anointing with oil, taking authority over demon spirits, laying hands on them, saying, can I do it to you? I said, in Jesus' name, I said, you will not, devil, come on there. They said, mom and dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm saying, I'm taking jurisdiction. I'm taking dominion over what? My sphere. God gave you to me, therefore I have authority to rule in your life. And it was amazing of the transformation. It was amazing of the change. I started telling you a few weeks ago how when we first got saved, we were paralyzed with fear as the enemy would come into our room and demonic spirits would begin to haunt us and taunt us. And we would lay in bed and we couldn't wake up and we're trying to say Jesus. We're trying to get delivered and we were just paralyzed. And Tina would go through the same thing and I would go through the same thing. We'd hear laughing in our house and literal laughing. And we hear mocking in our house and our middle dog. April would wake up every night just about for 6 months screaming at the top of her lungs, Daddy, 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 get him off of me, Daddy, get him off of me, please, Daddy, 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 no, they're hurting me, Daddy, stop it, stop it. And her eyes are looking at me and she's out of the zone. She's not conscious of the reality, whether she was in a sleep or whether she was in a trance or whether she was being demonized, whether she was being under attack, I don't know, but it would tear a heart of a parent out. We're trying to help her. Sweetheart, it's okay. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Jesus is here with you. Everything is fine. So it'd be fine. Finally, she would wake up and she would settle down and we'd put her back to bed. Next night, same thing over again. I said, it's April again. She's screaming in the bedroom. Honey, we're going to have to do something about this. There was an unlawful intrusion in my jurisdiction. And so I called the elders of the church. And it's good to be able to call an elder from the church, especially if they're an elder in the church. Not just that they have the title of elder, but they have the function of an elder. And I got Brother Jim Johnson up in my house. And he brought about 14 people from the church, anointed men and women of God. And they went up in every closet, every attic, every hallway, every bedroom, in the basement, out in the garage, grabbed hold of the front door, grabbed hold of the back door, and simultaneously began to pray. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree over this house, no weapon formed against this family shall prosper. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Satan, we command you to go and never come back and return to this house again. Loose this daughter, for she is a spiritually sensitive young girl who is a prophetess in the Lord and shall see dreams and visions in her future. And we take authority over you now. And the whole house was just reverberating in prayer and praise unto God. He said, well, what happened? That night, there was never another laughing, mocking sound. There was never another night where she woke up. She slept peacefully the rest of her life, to my knowledge, up until this point. Because why? We took authority, rule, and dominion over your jurisdiction. Some of us are living the lives that we're living because we're allowing our lives to live it. Now, what do I mean by that? Because we're allowing ourselves to dictate our life. I want you to know something. I don't allow myself to dictate anything. I let the Word dictate it. I'm going to abide in Him. What God says is what I'm going to focus on. I don't care what you said about me. You can reject me. You can laugh at me. You can walk out on me. You can write a bad letter about me. You can tell 15 people that I'm the worst preacher in the world. But it's all right with me, because you know what? Whatever they got to say is nothing to compare with what God Almighty has to say about my life. I know who I am, and I know who I believe in. And you can't change that today. Nobody can change that. But it took me a while to get there. Come on, come on, come on. You need to get there. Come on, come on. You need to get there. You need to start walking in your identity as who you are in Christ. Child of God, royalty of God, a prince and a princess of God, destined for the royalty of the Lord. You see, power is a prerequisite for having dominion. Moses' rod was the power to enforce dominion within his sphere, which was Israel. And I need to develop this superiority consciousness, not arrogance, but a superiority consciousness. I need to recognize the confidence that I have, that when I wake up in the morning, I change things. When I read my Bible, I change my future. When I pray, angels stand at attention, waiting to initiate the decrees of my mouth. Some of us, we don't initiate the decrees of heaven upon our life, upon our families, upon this region. Ephesians chapter 2 says, verse 6, we're seated with Christ. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. See, a prince doesn't act or think of themselves lowly. When I walk in a room, baby, you're going to know it. Not you. The powers and principalities of the air are going to know it. Because I'm destined for the throne. I'm not ordinary. I'm not a church guy. And you ain't a church lady. Come on. You're destined for the throne. Look at somebody and tell them, you're destined for the throne. You're destined to rule and reign. You have been given all authority. Come on, you've been given all authority. We got to stop this grasshopper mentality. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible said, the devil is cast down. Therefore, there is no power left in his hands. Jesus handed it over to you. Jesus handed it over to me. It's time for us to possess our former possessions. Now, you think about Joshua with me just for a minute. Joshua was a mighty man of God. Joshua, throw that up here. Joshua was a protege of Moses. Moses was awesome prophet of God. He performed miracles. He performed signs and wonders. He talked to God face to face. Come on, think about it with me. And Joshua was mentored under him. When Moses was about to die, he laid hands on him. And the Bible said the spirit that was on Moses came upon Joshua. Now, everybody would think from all of that, that Joshua was ready to possess and have dominion in his sphere, which is the promised land. But in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, if you'll look at it in the Bible, you'll find out that he wasn't ready. Because God spoke to him and said this, be strong and courageous. And that intrigued me. I began to look at that. I said, God, be strong and courageous that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. I can't see that. That you may prosper wherever you go. See, he was telling him something about the secret of the power of God. I began to meditate on this scripture, and God showed me something so simple. See, we as church folk, we want to go to the church and have somebody pray us into our release. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're two or three agree touching anything, it shall be done. But I work out 3 days a week, 6 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I don't want to go. While I'm there, I'm complaining the whole time. And I'm like, why am I ever doing this? Because I don't help. I don't look any better. I look the same as I looked before I started. But I'm working something so something can be released. In other words, I'm gaining in power so I will have a greater release. Without the power, I won't have the release. See, some people want me to go work out for them. Well, that's what you do when you ask me to pray for you. Pray for me that my marriage will come together. Look, sweetheart, I'm in the gym every day. You want me to work out for you? Why don't you work out for you? Oh, I ain't got time. I just want you to pray for me. Now, there's nothing wrong with agreement prayer. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want the power, if you want the ability, if you want the jurisdiction and dominion, then you're going to have to go to the place of power. I read my Bible. There's times I read my Bible and I am laboring. Oh, God, why do I have to do this today? I'm tired. I want to go back to bed. I want a donut. I want something. I want to watch the news. I don't really care about this right now. But I know something. I know something about the content in that word. Let's look at it. It's in Proverbs chapter 23, I believe it is, chapter 24 and verse 5. Are you going to put it up? Can you do that? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. Watch this. A wise man. Everybody say wise man. Is what? Strong. And is better than a strong man. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. Now I'm beginning to understand, if I need power to release things, I've got to know how to get the power. The power does not come when the B3 plays. The power doesn't come when the preacher goes into his sing-song preaching. When the worship team starts twirling and dancing. That's not where the power comes from. Power doesn't come when we begin to pray for each other and we feel it. No. That's not where the power comes from. The power or the strength comes from knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. The word of God. Say the word of God. When God told Joshua, be strong, he said, I want you to take hold of and I want you to seize. Ooh. Take hold of and seize. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, 7 and 8 up there. Let me show this to you again. Take hold of and seize what he was talking about. Only be strong. Only take hold of and seize. that you may do according to all that the law, which my servant commanded you. Verse 8 says, do not let it depart from your mouth. Do not let the word depart. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to lay hold of and seize my word in order to be made strong. Power is in the word. Power is in the word. When I'm doing curls with 25 pounds and I'm trying to curl this thing up 20 times, I don't feel any stronger. I don't feel any more powerful. Matter of fact, I feel weaker. There's times I feel more vulnerable. But I know this, there's times when I'm reading my Bible, I might not be receiving anything. I might not be feeling very spiritual. I might not be feeling very strong. But just like in the natural, if I keep on lifting and I keep on working and if I keep on reading my word and I keep on declaring my word, something is happening inside of me that is way beyond my ability. It is the power of the living God that is released in you. Daniel 11 and 32, and I got to hurry. It says this, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that know their God, get in this word, get in this word, get in this word, get hungry for the word, start devouring the word, get up in the morning and start reading it and putting it in your spirit. Write down a little 3x5 card scriptures, begin to quote them throughout the day, begin to meditate both day and night upon the word. Why? Because the Bible says that strength, a man of knowledge is strong. A man of knowledge has power. And why do you need power? So you can release your authority. Hey, Dad, listen to me. Your children need you to have jurisdiction in your sphere. Men, our children, our grandchildren, needs you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That doesn't come by coming to church and having a pastor pray for you. That doesn't come by giving in your offering. That doesn't come by singing songs. That doesn't come by attending Bible study. It may help a little bit, but it doesn't come. It comes when you, like David, on the hills of Bethlehem, get alone with God, when no one else is around, and you crack that book, and you open it up, and you say, Holy Ghost, show me, teach me, reveal to me your will and your way. God, not my way and not my will, but yours be done. And he begins to infuse you with his understanding and with his knowledge. And the Bible says that strength will come to that man. Strength will come to that woman, and that's why no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's why you're able to stand tall against every assault of the enemy and defeat the devil right before his face. That's why God's raising up a people today who are ruling from the mountain of Zion. Because we understand what's at stake. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 1 John chapter 2 and 14, you are strong. The word abides in you. You're strong from knowing the word. Then he said, be courageous. It means to encourage, to have hope, to inspire, to have confidence, to have a resolve about your life. And I'm going to close with this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, go back to the story of Ziklag because this is awesome. This is powerful, man. If you don't get anything, just please tune in right here. Just put your spirit right in connection right here. Because David had lost everything. His wife and children had been captured. His possessions were gone. He was a mighty man. He was a Christian. He was an elder in the church. He was a deacon. He ushered. He went to church. But his house and family was falling apart. It's not unlike today. Some of us, our homes are falling apart. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. This is not a time when we can be easy. This is not a time we can just be casual. This is a time it's going to take some effort. Because when we come home and we see our children on crack, or we see our sons and our daughters in illicit relationships, or we see our husband on the internet with pornography in the middle of the night, or we see our family relationships torn and we can't talk one to another, and we see our loss of job in the region, and we see the churches split down the middle because of the color of the paint on the wall, and we see all the confusion, and we see the demonic activity, somebody needs to get like David. Because the church has been so dismayed. The church has been so discouraged. And we're ready to stone our leaders. We're ready to stone the church and say, you know what? The church can't do it. We're going to kill you, David. And David was distressed as well. But David remembered something. It's in the darkest moment of your life. It's in the time when you're going through the deepest trial. Listen to me, please. It's in that moment when you feel like you can't go on anymore. David had in verse 6, put it back up there, 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself. Next verse. David strengthened himself. What did he strengthen himself in? Huh? Come on, preach to me, huh? In the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Not in church. Not in the pastor's prayer. Not in a deacon's prayer. Not in my lady's Bible study. In the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And that word strengthened is the same word strong. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Here's how he did it. He remembered Samuel, the old rough prophet, who came to his father's house, Jesse, and said, I'm here to anoint a king. Bring your boys out here. And all seven of them came out. They said, no, that's not it. That's not it. Nope, I don't like him either. Nope, 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 nope. You got any more? He said, the only one I've got is this little frail, insignificant little boy out there watching a few sheep. And Samuel said, bring him to me. Oh, boy, the anointing got on Samuel. He said, bring him to me. Somebody go get David. Here comes David, smelling like sheep dung. Out there all by himself, whistling and singing songs and praise unto God. Nobody knew he was there. Nobody knew about him. Nobody even thought much about him. Let me tell you something. Nobody knew you were there. Nobody thought much about you. Maybe you've been forgotten. Maybe you've been mistaken. Maybe you've been pushed back and pushed down. But God has not forgotten you one day and one minute. And here comes David walking up to Samuel, and Samuel says, take it. And he poured the horn of oil all over his head, and he announced him as King of Israel. King? I smell like sheep. That's why you'll make a good one. And so while David was about to be stoned and greatly distressed in his heart, he began to recall what God has said to him. See, that's why you got to get in the Word, man. You got to know what the Bible is talking about. So because when you go through your darkest moment, in your darkest hour, when you're in your midnight moment, you got to recall what God has spoken to you and what God has said. You got to redig the well of prophetic utterance. Some of you have received prophetic words from God more than one time, and those prophetic words have not fallen to the ground. God remembers every one of them, and he wants you to recall them. He wants you to begin to declare them once again. We need to redig the wells that the Philistines, the world, the situations in our life have plugged up, and let the Holy Ghost flow begin to flow again. It was chapter 30 that David almost lost his life, and he was one chapter away from the greatest breakthrough in his entire life. And the reason was because he strengthened himself in the Lord, in the Word. God, I can't do this. I love people to encourage me. I love when people help me and pray for me. I love it, oh God, when I can come to the church and people thank me. But Lord, that doesn't strengthen me and that doesn't sustain me. There's only one way that I know that I can make it through this day, is to go back into your Word and remember what you said about me. And David said, I will not touch the anointed of God. And Saul tried to pursue him and kill him and destroy him. And David lived his life with honor and integrity. And in the next chapter, it was the Philistine army that defeated Israel and killed Saul and his sons. And then David was brought in as the king. One chapter away. Some of you are only a few verses away. Don't you give up now. Don't you make me get over there and jump all over you. Now, you come on. You came in this place now. Now you're in this thing now. You got your Bible in your lap now. Come on. You can't just close that book up and forget about it. You got to hold on. This is something that God has destined from you from the time you broke your mother's womb. This wasn't a mistake. You're not a mistake. This is not something that just happened. It's not a matter of just God pulling together a few people in this church and here we are at Embassy Suites. You better understand something. God has brought us to a place for such a time as this that we will take our rightful place in this region. And we will take authority over all the principalities and powers of the air and declare that God be the Lord of all and that he is going to use us for his kingdom's sake. But you've got to crave it. Nobody walks in power without craving for it. In the natural world, people that want power give everything for it. They'll buy it. They'll sell their soul for it. But in the kingdom of God, you've got to hunger and thirst for the power of God. And the power of God is not in your talent, your ability, what you can do or not do, but it is in God's word. And I hunger for your word. I crave for your word. I know today, Father, that you want us to possess our former possessions. But you cannot do it. You can't even begin to do it unless you're born again. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave them the power of God. The power of God. You've got to receive Christ, the word. Receive the word that was made flesh, and you can receive power of God. You can live right. You can love everybody. You can pray hard. You can walk in the realm of the Spirit. You can be like David and kill Goliath. You can be mighty in your marriage. You can turn it around today. It is your choice. It is your decision. It is my choice. It is my decision. I will have dominion in my jurisdiction. Question is this morning, are you born again? Or have you become religious? Do you really know him? Do you know him? And as we're praying here this morning, and some of us around you are praying right now because we believe that some of us in this room need to be born again. Some of us need to receive Christ. And I'm going to ask you this morning with your heads bowed, let me ask this question. If you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? You see, salvation is not an escape route to heaven, but it is a seal of dominion on the earth. God wants us to be saved, that we would declare his soteria, that we would be set apart for his kingdom, and that we would possess our former possessions. Nobody looking around, you say, preacher, would you pray with me? Would you agree with me? I'm ready to surrender my life to God. Not just my mental assent, but my life to God. I'm ready to lay it down for him. Pray for me. That's what I want right now. I want you to pray for me. Nobody looking around, on the count of three, I want you to do something for me. Christians are praying with you right now. Man, they're praying, they're praying, they're praying. They're praying in the Holy Spirit. They're praying, they're calling out to God for your soul. Because there's so much at stake. There's a jurisdiction. There's a sphere of influence that God wants you to rule and to reign in. And until you do, there'll be chaos there. On the count of three, you want that prayer. I want you to acknowledge it with a hand raised up. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift it up. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anybody else? Lift it up high enough. Thank you. God bless you. Come on, church. You got to pray with me. This is a birthing time. We got to push. We got to bear down. This is a time that God wants to birth some destinies into this realm today. We need you. See, some of you are sitting here, and without you, we can't have the dominion that we need, because your authority and your rulership and your dominion in this realm is so vital to what we need to do, what God wants to do in Cleveland, what God wants to do in this nation. already raised your hand, don't do it again. But if this is something you sense in your heart that you must do before God today, then I'm going to ask you to do it on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three. If you didn't raise your hand before, do it now. Hold it up high enough that I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody, come on, stand up to your feet. Ask my altar ministers, my cell group altar ministers, to come on up here. Now here's what I want to do. If you raise your hand this morning, you say, I want God, and I want God all the way. I want to give my life to Christ. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave where you're standing, and I want you to come down. If you're a lady, I want you to find a girl. If you're a guy, I want you to find a guy. And I want us to pray for you. To believe God with you. Would you do it right now? Come on. Come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Sing it for me. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is your moment. Come on. How great is our God. Come on, lift your hands and worship. Some of us in here this morning that have gone halfway up the mountain, and that's cool. But God's calling you to go the rest of the way. You already know God. You already know Christ. But you need to make a decision to leave some things behind and get in that word every day. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Begin to press in and crave for the power of God in your life every day. And you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. And I want you, along with the other ones that raised their hand, I want you to turn to somebody first. And I want you to ask them, say, look, did you raise your hand? I'll go with you. You don't have to feel all alone. You don't have to be by yourself. I'll walk with you right down to the front. Come on, do that right now. Turn to somebody, would you? Come on, turn, take them by the hand and say, come on, honey, let's go. Come on, this is the best decision. This is the most important choice that you'll ever make in your life. Do it now for the glory of God. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, maybe some of us are just vacillating. We want to open up the altars for every person. The rest of us, let's give the glory, the tribute, and the honor, and the praise that we need to give Him. Come on. Lift up those hands. Declare that He's a great God. Everybody, would you just reach a hand to some of these? Come on. Would you reach out and pray with me for the people that are seeking God right now, looking for Jesus in a powerful way? Father, bless them. Lord God, meet them where they're at, God, shepherd of their soul. Come on, take them to the place, Lord. Total surrender, complete surrender to you, Jesus. Complete surrender to you, God. Thank you. Thank you for every soul that's represented here at the front of this room, God. Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall upon him right now. Come on, just bless him. You got such power in your authority. You have power and authority in this church. If you're part of this church, come on. Just release your jurisdiction into their life and their dominion in their life. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. from the very front to the very back. Every one of us, come on. We're in agreement right now. Jesus, have your way, Lord. Have your way in their life, Jesus. Change them right now. Just stop the music for a minute. Just keep on praying. Just stop the music. Just keep on praying. Come on, church. Let me hear you pray. Come on, let me hear you pray. Come on, let me hear you pray. Sometimes we're just so used to the music that we can't lift up our voices. Come on, let me hear you pray. Just call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord God. We release them now, Lord God, into greatness. Father God, that the kingdom come, that will be done, Lord God, on earth as it is in heaven, Father. We release them, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for every person that's in this auditorium as well. Every person that's standing in these seats, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit fall fresh. Let it fall fresh, God. Let it fall upon us, Lord. We're hungry for you. We crave your power. And we know that your power is within your word. It's within your knowledge of the Lord. And so we search for that today, God. We hunger for that today, Lord. We want it, God. We desire it more than anything, God, in our whole life. We are so hungry. We are so thirsty for you, Jesus. And we just ask, Lord God, that you fall. Take somebody by the hand and cross the aisles, would you please? I just ask that you do this for me, really, please. Would you just cross the aisle? Take somebody by the hand. And I want you to pray for one another, because I really believe that this is a moment that God is speaking to us as a church. God is speaking to us as a people, that we are going to take dominion in our spheres. Come on. Thank you, Lord God, in our jobs. I want to pray for those of you that are business people, those of you that work a job outside of the ministry. Many of us do. I want you right now just to begin to receive the blessing of the Lord. Father, I pray that we would become agents on our jobs, that we would be change agents, God, that we would be so anointed that, Father, when we come into our positions and we walk into our offices or we come into our lines and our warehouses and places, oh God, of occupation, that, Lord Jesus, we would bring such an anointing and we would carry such authority, Father God, that it would make a change, it would make a difference. I pray, Lord God, that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit would come upon each person, Lord Jesus, in a mighty way. Father God, we pray for moms and dads. I want to pray right now for moms and dads. Come on, get in agreement that, Lord, they will have jurisdiction, authority, dominion over their homes, over their marriages, couples, husbands and wives. I pray for singles. I pray for the single believer in this room today, God, that they are complete, single-minded. They are whole because of you, God. And I thank you, Lord, that they are taking jurisdiction. They are taking dominion over their life, Father. And God, because they have jurisdiction and domain, no ugly thing, no evil thing will come in and try to seduce them. But Lord, they will find Mrs. Wright and Mr. Wright. Lord God, it'll be an anointed moment. I thank you that you are restoring marriages, Father. I thank you that our children are going to serve you with all their heart. We release them, oh God, to prophesy. We release them, oh God, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Ghost would move in their lives, Father. And God, right now we drive out and take authority over every evil thing, every evil thought. Come on, let's take authority over thoughts. Father, thoughts that have come not from you but from the devil. We take authority over those thoughts and we bind them and we cast them down. Every imagination, oh God, they're taking thought captive, every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we say we accept the knowledge of God. We accept the word of God. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister that she would accept the word in her life all week long and that she will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. And we'll give you praise for it now, Lord. Hallelujah. Now break those hands and lift them up to Jesus and give him a praise in this room. Come on. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We celebrate you, God. I wish we had all afternoon. Man, this is just so good. I wanted to hear what God's doing in your lives. And I know God's doing powerful things in you. I know that. I know that. Everyone has a testimony in here this morning. I wish we had time to share everything that God is doing. But on the way, I'll talk to somebody and say, can I just tell you what God did for me this week before I go? I just got to tell you, man, God has been so good to me. I want you to know we have home group, our cell group. Actually, what it's called is discipleship groups on Wednesday night. That's this week. Our discipleship group leaders, are they up here? Let's see. There they are. There's one. You're in Highland Heights. Highland Heights. You can meet them at the table, and you can find out where John and Lisa live. get into a discipleship group. Jesus said to make disciples of all nations. Amen. And we have Tossie and Rita right here. And they're in Solon, right off of 91. And we have these little forms out there. We want you to get into a discipleship group. It's time for you to go to the next level in God. Okay? And then Scott Norris, where's he's not here today. He's on here. And Scott is in Euclid, right? Okay, wherever he's at. But we want you to be a part of one, okay? And then if you want to be trained and raised up as a discipleship leader, meet with me on the opposite Wednesday at Tossie and Rita's house, and we're teaching people to become disciple leaders. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will go with you powerfully in your life. Live right, love everybody, pray hard, and go Browns. God bless you all. We love you.